Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
All right. Podcast number two for November 4th, 2014. I hope you're having an amazing week. I'm going to read a message I got on Facebook this week from a listener. You want to send me your questions about making every day Saturday? Go ahead. A lot of ways to get a hold of me, at Sam Crowley on Twitter. Email me, sam@everydaysaturday.com. That's about it. That's probably the fastest way. Send me a message on Facebook as well, Sam Crowley. So, what's up? What are you doing? You finding your purpose after today's morning show, The Ladder of Success? That was a great show, wasn't it? That was awesome. Finding your purpose. Go back and listen to that one many times over. You'll hear some new stuff every time you listen to it. I promise you that much. All right. Let's get in right into this message. I promised I'd share it earlier on the show. I didn't do it this morning because we got into some great, great content. This one is from my buddy Jim in Illinois. Hey, Sam, got your book. I sent him an autographed copy of the book. He won a contest on my fan page. If you want to become a fan of the Everyday Saturday show on Facebook, go ahead and go to Facebook.com/Everyday Saturday. You'll see it. It's the official fan page of the Everyday Saturday show. So I sent him an autographed copy of a book he received. He's also reading on my recommendation. He's right in the middle of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know that book had one of the largest impacts on my life. I read it, never heard of it, was going to a real estate boot camp back in 2002, and the instructor said, pick up these two books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Think and Grow Rich. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was easier for me to read, and it was just because of the stage of life I was in. Think and Grow Rich is a little bit of a more difficult book for me to read on the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. I had to kind of really focus. And I'm not very good at focusing. I got ADHD, double D, every D, okay? Every D. Every day is ADD for this guy, okay? So Rich Dad, Poor Dad had a lot of nice colors, purple, and the print was thicker. It was just easier to read. And it was a story. Here's the deal. You want to be successful, get good at telling stories. Now, I'm not saying which book is better. Look, Bob Proctor's been teaching from Think and Grow Rich for the last 60 years, okay? So, actually started in 1961, 50-some years. He's been that's when he began reading that book and went from making $4,000 a year to making, who knows, $100,000 an hour just to speak. But I'm not saying which book is better. I'm saying for me personally, at that point in my life, Rich Dad, Poor Dad had the most impact because it was a story. It's a great story, okay? And if you like stories like I do, regardless, if you like them, learn to be a good storyteller. What do you think I do every single day? I tell a story. About what? About every day is Saturday. You know the story. My daughter asking me in 2004, Daddy, is tomorrow Saturday? And I've parlayed that story now into a brand, into a movement, into this show that you're listening to with hundreds and thousands of downloads. We're going to have 1 million downloads coming up in the next 12 months. Think about that. From a story. Get good at telling your story. So Jim writes, he's in the middle of reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There's something I've been wanting to ask you for a long time. I grew up very similar to you, mostly in apartments, the occasional trailer park, and even a house that got foreclosed on. I've seen a lot of shady characters in my time, and I want to know, do you have a hard time evicting, say, a single mother with kids who can't pay her rent? I wanted to get into the rental property back when I was 18, but I wondered if I would have a hard time getting rent from a person who struggled like my own mother did. What do you think, Sam? I'd really like to hear what you think. Keep up the good work, Sam, and keep up the fight with baby Susan. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your question. Let me answer that because it's not an easy. There's not an easy just one sentence answer to this question. I grew up with a single parent, youngest of eight kids. We're on food stamps and welfare. Best to my knowledge, we got off food stamps when I was about 7, 8, maybe 9 years old. Okay. And I got into the rental business and I have a lot of Section 8. Let me qualify that. I don't have a lot. Okay. I have some. It feels like a lot sometimes. I have some Section 8 tenants, which here in the United States, Section 8 is a government-assisted housing. Now, immediately people think, oh, Section 8. Let me tell you something. Bad things happen to good people. You know that. I've talked a lot about that on my show. My Section 8 tenants are not bad tenants. They're good tenants. They've fallen on hard times. They get assistance from the government. You know, I don't look down my nose at any of these people. Okay? Now, I also have some tenants who have lost their job, become unemployed, a number of different things. Okay? Out of 40 units, you're going to have, and I have a lot of tenants who just pay the rent. They got jobs and they go about their merry ways. No big deal. They've never been late. I have had many, many, many times, you can imagine over the past 12 years of being a landlord, where a single mother or father or both, they can't pay the rent. So you get into what's called situational leadership. And I learned this in corporate. No two situations are the same. All right. Let me explain. There's a single mom. I remember her. I'm not going to use names, okay, because I don't want that to get traced back to anybody, just in case, okay? So let's just call her Mary. Mary worked her ass off every single day to put food on the table and to pay the rent and to keep the electric. Mary was a great communicator with me. She wasn't always on time with the rent, and I was never going to evict her. Truth be told, Mary has moved out since, but I was probably her landlord for the better part of 6 or 7 years. Truth be told, I would have never evicted Mary because she reminded me a lot of my mom. I would have let her go, and I probably would have written. At some point, I would have had to say, Mary, look, here's the deal. You've been late 6 months, okay, at $500 a month. You're into me for $3,000. We got to figure something out, you know? And here's the thing. Good people are more embarrassed than anything. We've all been in that situation. Haven't you been? Have you never been late on a bill? I have many times. You know, I've gotten the eviction notice on my door when I was renting. And you're embarrassed by it because you're a good person. You got a good heart, all right? And most likely, 90% of the time, this is for Jim as well, 90% of the time, that single mom is going to come to you and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make the rent payment this month, okay? Or they're going to not wait for you to send a letter out. They're going to over-communicate their situation. And, you know, sometimes they won't because they're too embarrassed. But yet, when you come to them, they're not going to take this other stance that who the hell are you? I'll see you in court. Okay. That's the other person I'll talk about in a second. Most of the time, good people, I mean, if they're good people all of the time, they're going to be proactive and they're going to be good communicators with you. But if they don't, it's only because they're embarrassed. And when you finally communicate with them, they're going to try to work out a situation where they want to stay in your place. Okay. Now, you know, this doesn't have to be real estate. This can be any business you run. You're going to have accounts receivables that just aren't paying on time. There's a story. The point is, there's a story behind every person. But specifically in real estate, since Jim asked the question, I'm going to answer it in real estate context. But understand, this applies to any business that you own and you have an accounts receivable. What about just no business? How about a friend that owes you money? Did you ever think that maybe they're going through some very difficult times and as opposed to just jumping, hey, where's my money? Or you being too embarrassed because they're a friend and it's awkward to say anything. There's a way to approach that. And you can actually take a lot of the pressure off by saying, hey, Suze, hey, Johnny, I know you owe me money. I hope that's not weighing on you, because it's not weighing on me. Yes, I'd like to be paid at some point in time. No, it is not going to impact our friendship at all. But I just want you to know, I don't want that to be the elephant in the room. All right, we're friends. We've been friends a long time. So there's that part of it too. Let's get back to the real estate part. So we've got the single mom or dad or single individual who's having a tough time, and this is impacting your ability to be a landlord, for example, because you're not a mean person. You don't have to be mean. But here's the thing. Up front, in every business you need to, and with friends you're lending money to, which I would not recommend a lot, lending money to friends and family. I've borrowed a lot of money from my sister in the past who has been ultra, ultra successful, and she's bailed me out of so many tight spots. I can't even tell you, man. Without her, I don't even know. I don't even want to think about where I'd be. So I get it, okay? It's difficult lending to friends and family. Here's the one thing you need to over-communicate up front. terms and conditions. And if you can't over-communicate that up front, then don't lend money, okay? If you're uncomfortable with that conversation, you're going to be really uncomfortable with the conversation you have to have when the money doesn't get paid back to you, okay? It's better to have that conversation up front. Everybody get on board. And look, even if you got to have sign a promissory note, I mean, that's, you have to understand, is this a business or is it not a business? Because, Jim, you're not running a nonprofit as a landlord, okay? Unless you're running a Ronald McDonald House or something like that, which are great. Look, those are great. But understand, you're either getting into the for-profit business or you're getting into the not-for-profit business. Make that distinction up front. And when you rent in a unit out, an apartment to somebody, a home to individuals, let them know, I'm a great person. I really am. I'm a nice guy. However, this is not a nonprofit, and we both just need to understand that this is not a nonprofit. I'm going to have you get into a binding lease, and if you miss a payment, here's the best thing you want to do. You want to over-communicate with me. You need to let me know before the first of the month arrives and I'm knocking on the door looking for the rent. You need to let me know ahead of time that rent ain't coming, and you need to let me know when it is coming. I don't even care if it's coming in three installment payments. It's coming. Okay, that's what I need to know. I need to know when, and I need to know ahead of time. Over communication. Let me tell you, that is such a lost art. Wouldn't you agree, in any business, in any relationship? Communication is so critical, but not just communication. Over communication will alleviate so much of what we're discussing today. Because Jim's hearkening back to his own past, like myself, growing up, not necessarily in the greatest environment, not knowing if you could evict your own mother. I mean, would I evict my own mother? Of course I would not evict my own mother. You know the conversation that I would have from somebody who reminded me of my own mother, which I've had a lot of tenants who did? I would just communicate ahead of time. Hey, Mary, I just need you to understand, this is a for-profit business. I have water, sewer, electric, gas on my pay, all the utilities on my own apartments, garbage pickup, maintenance and repair. Okay, please, if you're going to put us in an awkward situation or a difficult situation where the rent is not coming in that actually pays for all these expenses, I need to know ahead of time. And I also need to let you know ahead of time, if it comes to an eviction, it is not Sam Crowley, the father of four who lives in Cincinnati, that is doing it. It is a separate company, an LLC that I formed, which I highly recommend you go to LegalZoom or any one of these online and form a corporation. Separate yourself even one more layer for a lot of reasons. I'm not an attorney, but for liability, but also for the mental aspect, you can say that is my company that's foreclosing on you because we are a for-profit organization, okay? And get Mary to agree. Mary, I want you to say, yes, I understand. And these are the conversations I have, guys. I don't want just your signature. I want to hear you say, yes, I understand, okay? Or if you have a property manager, get them used to having these conversations with people, okay? Even better, if you get a property management company, a lot of them take 10% off the top. They manage your entire process. You don't ever have to have this conversation. So you might want to look into having a property management company take 10% of all of your gross rent. So if you rent something for $1,000 a month, they take $100, but you don't have any interaction with the tenant. None. So that takes all of it. That takes everything out of it because you don't ever have to have a tough conversation. But getting back to the original email from Jim, the message, I don't know if I would ever be able to evict somebody who's falling on hard times. Let me tell you something. Whether you get into real estate, whether you want to open up a flower shop, a restaurant, whatever it is, you're going to have to collect money from people. All right. So it's not just real estate. It's any business. So this isn't just a real estate specific question. This is a business question. You're going to have to collect money. I sell a podcasting package for $1,000, okay, from Stage. I sell a lot of these. Guess what I also have to do? Collect money. So emails go out if people want to go on a payment plan. If it's $1,000 and they're paying $499.50, two separate payments, and within 30 days, after that 30 days, if that second $500 payment hasn't come in, guess what goes out? An email. Membership sites, you have to send emails out. Now, I realize this may be a little more impersonal than a single mother who's renting from you, but guys, it's business. Just understand, either somebody's not going to eat eventually. It's either going to be them or it is going to be you. And understand, we're all adults. We are all adults. At some point in time, my own mother would agree to this, all right? She never wanted a handout. If she couldn't make the rent, she would let the landlord know ahead of time. She wasn't looking for a free lunch. And that's what was so awesome about my mom is she took 100% accountability for where she was. And that single mother I talked about at the very beginning of today's show took 100% accountability for her actions as well. It's the single mom, and here's the other person, who I have had to evict, and I honestly did not feel bad. It's the single mom who was playing Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, working at McDonald's, minimum wage, and if she wouldn't get a second job because she felt she was above that. She felt she was actually too good for even the McDonald's drive-thru. But what she would do is come home, still in her McDonald's outfit, because I would walk in and knock on the door and say, "Hey, Mary, the rent's due." Yeah. And she was playing video games. Okay? Let me tell you something. You got time to play Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, you got time to go to a second job or get a better first job. But why do you even own a $400 game console? Why do you own a cell phone that you're paying $80 a month for data? Okay? The rent comes first, food, clothing, shelter, or get assistance from a third party. All of this, guys, all falls under the umbrella of accountability. Adults. We all want to be treated like adults, except when we have to be held accountable. Isn't that true? Myself included, sometimes. You're talking to me like that. Well, you're an adult, Sam. Okay, you're right. You're right. And the easiest way to have this conversation is up front. You can't unring the bell. Once it's been rung, it's rung. Either you're going to have this conversation up front. Maybe a little difficult. It's not going to be awkward, especially when you frame it as a business. You're entering into a business contract with my LLC, with my corporation, with my company. Not me, not Jim, not Sam, not Mary, not Sue. No, with my company. Guys, it costs a couple $100 to form an LLC online. Do it. I highly recommend you do it. Or hire a property management company to do it. Or if you're doing an online business, have a third party, a virtual assistant, somebody else do your collections for you. You're completely out of the mix. You don't have to have conversations. If that's not what you want to do, don't even have it. Hire a virtual assistant. Go to Elance. Go to Fiverr. Go to one of these thousands of sites, Odesk, and get yourself a virtual assistant who contacts these individuals, does all the filing for you, all of this stuff, all right? Has the tough conversations if you don't want to have them. But if you're going to have them up front so you don't have to have them in the middle or at the end. Those are the tough ones. Isn't that true? In any relationship, the easy conversation is laying the groundwork up front. That's my answer for Jim. I hope that helps everybody, though. When you're going into business, whatever it is, relationships, have the conversation, set the expectations up front, and people want to be spoken to like and treated like adults, especially in the front end. And they'll look, let me tell you, anything else other than that, that's not on you. That's on them. They get it. My mother would have understood that. I understand that. Everybody understands it. I hope that helps. You got a question for me? Send it over to Sam at EverydaySaturday.com. Hit me up on Twitter. And have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.